I just said that.
I know you just said that.
Okay, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
Well, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
That's what I just said.
That's what I'm saying to you.
All right.
Touché.
You go right, you go right, you go left, you go right, you go right, you go right, you go left.
It's a download here on 720 WGN Chicago, and of course, it is Monday night, so that means it's time for Touche, our weekly political segment with Dave Lundy and Chris Roebling. Dave Lundy is off tonight. Tracy Seffel is in. Chris Roebling, a Republican analyst.
Yes.
Tracy Seffel, a Democrat analyst, and we are here on this. I mean, we had a lot to talk about on Friday, and I think we changed course because of what happened in Orlando, obviously. But you know, I got to say, this is tough because it's, you know, it's the awful. One thing that's difficult about this segment is a political segment. And there's been a lot of calls not to politicize tragedy. But the country we live in, the time we live in a campaign, it seems to be the number one thing to do is to politicize this.
But I don't think we have to. I hope not necessarily on this segment. I mean, you know, 50 people were out having a good time and all of their friends. And this guy shows up. You wonder, what does it take for a human being to do this? And lives lost, lives forever changed, loved ones, families ruined, you know, or just terribly, terribly injured by this. And you just can't, you can't help but have that human emotion. And I think, leaving politics aside, you just have to say, this is yet another confirmation of this new and very, very dangerous, very threatening, very unusual by our standards, world in which we live. You know, Europe has been dealing with this kind of terrorism a lot longer than we have. It's now here.
I wish that gun violence was unusual. I feel like that is, I agree with everything about the emotions and the tragedy of this all. But my God, was this the 20th time or something like that that Obama has had to come out and make a statement following a mass shooting? It's no longer unusual. And that's also a tragedy.
So let's talk about that, because obviously the two sort of storylines that are happening here have to do with the war on terror and whether or not we're being diligent or if we're protecting the country. And the other is the sort of idea of gun control and whether or not we need to change our gun laws. And if Congress is failing the United States, the people of this country, in letting guns get into the hands of people who are mentally unstable. So why don't we start there with guns? Do you think, Tracy, at all, that this issue, what this country saw in Orlando this weekend, will this be sort of the jumping off point for a change in our gun laws?
My God, it should be, especially if we can, as a country, see nearly 30 children murdered and essentially do nothing. If now we're going to see nearly 50 people out in a nightclub murdered, and we have to do something. I mean, it's really defying logic how people have asked this question time and again. San Bernardino, Charleston, et cetera, et cetera. And frankly, the only thing that seems to be happening is galvanizing activists and more people who say, we got to do something. And then nothing.
Chris, do we have to do something?
Yeah, I mean, since I mean, we got down this path, here I am. Okay, I started off differently, but here we are. So, you know, the Obama administration has not been able to identify what we're dealing with, and they've called things like workplace violence for Fort Hood. And here you've got a guy who was interviewed 3 times by the FBI, and no mechanism was created by the Obama administration. No mechanism was, if it had to be walked through Congress, it wasn't walked through Congress. But if ever there was a case where you would say, okay, everybody in the country would agree that this is a guy who's beating his wife, he's mentally unstable, he's being reported by his coworkers, all of whom, himself and his coworkers, are working for a company that is a provider to us, the U.S. taxpayers, because it is a provider to a contractor for Department of Homeland Security. And this guy's interviewed 3 times by the Obama FBI, and they cannot get it together to figure out that he really is a risk to society, and that guys who are being interviewed 2 or 3 times within the space of 14 months should not have access to guns, or before they get access
to guns. You make the argument
there should be some kind of flag that goes up.
The argument made, you know, from people saying, well, you can't, I mean, what this is America, and the freedom that, that is being protected is the idea that if somebody is not charged, when it's just an interview and there's nothing to charge them with, they can't be charged. I mean, what can the FBI do? What can a political administration do when it comes to keeping guns out of someone's hands if it's not for the, if not a law?
Well, there are a lot, there is a right to gun ownership, which is in the Constitution. But like all rights in the Constitution, there are limits on that right. And those limits, you know, affect time, place, manner, you know, the situation. And those are all pretty reasonable. And there's a whole structure of constitutional law to figure those out. My point is that this is an individual. I believe that the Obama administration was so bound by political correctness and was so determined not to see Islamic radicalization, okay, that they allowed this guy to slip through and they did not get him onto the equivalent of a no-buy list, which would be the gun equivalent of the no-fly list.
Right.
Okay. If you can say no to people flying, then you can say no or hesitation about people buying guns.
Tracy?
it's such a tough day. And to talk about this, it's hard. And it's a good reminder that politics isn't fun and games. Like, now we're getting down to business here, people. We've got things we need to do differently. I would take issue that the Obama administration is somehow, the FBI is somehow polluted with politicization. I do think that it's been clear, and the FBI director has made clear that his agents were, you know, absolutely following their protocol. And if someone gets through like this, it's unfortunate. And it seems like that is the lone wolf issue is something that really has to be aggressively addressed. And I also, again, the Second Amendment with limits on that right, I believe, okay, you can own guns, but why on earth should anyone own assault weapons? I don't understand why those are for sale. Why?
Well,
why can you buy that?
Beyond that, the it's interesting the political rhetoric that has changed, and you've heard this from, I think you've heard it from the campaign for Hillary Clinton, the concept that these are guns of war or weapons of war. You hear, that's the first time I've really heard this over and over and over. We need to take weapons of war off our streets as opposed to, going at, we're going to take guns away from somebody. So, I mean, the question I have is that, what I know, and I don't know a ton about how it kind of played out the last time I went through Congress, but, you mentioned the fly list, the no-fly list. There was an idea that was thrown through Congress that said, okay, let's put this
super
on, and it was
logical,
blocked.
Super logical.
Right. So why
if
was
you
it
can't
blocked?
Get on a plane, why can you then go buy a gun? It's amazing to me that that provision
why is Congress
was
voting
blocked.
Down that provision? That's what I don't understand. I think why the American people are a little bit frenzied about the political
spineless.
Part of this is why Congress has not acted and why it seems to be in the pocket of lobbyists.
Yeah, I don't buy that, and I'll tell you why. Inevitably, like, for instance, I was actually, I think I was working with a congressperson in the mid-1990s when that original, modifications to the federal gun control law went through. And you know what happened is that there was this use of the term assault rifle, that there is no assault rifle in reality, and there was never a definition of assault rifle that was put forward by the gun control activists. All 99% of whom, and I'm not Tracy necessarily, but the professional gun controllers are actually abolitionists, and they're not working to control guns. They're working to get rid of guns, and they're working to limit the ability of Americans to own and to use guns. So we, since the time of Al Capone being out on these very streets we can see in front of us here, we've had prohibitions on machine guns. So there haven't been machine guns. And there yet, if you listen to congressional proponents of further gun control, it would be like you're listening to people talk about machine guns. That's not what's going on here. And there's always a difference between the PR campaign and what's actually in the language of the bill.
Well, I don't care what they're called. I still don't understand why they're sold. I do not understand the utility and purpose of weapons.
But this entire conversation
are meant
misses
for
the point
murder.
That the FBI was talking, the Obama FBI, which is deeply politicized. And I heard that comment from Comey today, the FBI director. But you don't have to know a heck of a lot about the FBI or the Department of Defense to understand that under the Obama administration, all references to Islam have been purged from conversations about domestic terrorism. So the president's absolute, irrevocable determination not to use the word radical Islam from the presidential lectern, okay, is enforced down through the bureaucracy. And so I myself have friends from BATF or other law enforcement agencies where they've been told you're not allowed to look at Islam as a possible cause. This is absurd. And the absurdity was on display today when our FBI director, who is a brilliant guy and a devoted public servant, actually says in front of a national audience, we don't really know what the guy's motivation was. And this shooter called 911 twice, not once, but twice, and then was called back by 911 once. So there were three conversations in which he was pledging his fealty to ISIL and its leader. And yet the FBI guy says, we don't really know. That is how bound by political correctness this administration is.
You know, I wish I could, I can't. And I can't fact check in the moment on what you're talking about, but it feels to me that this is, you know, you can make the same arguments, and the other side of the aisle can make the same arguments pre-9/11 that, you know, I've heard thousands of moments of like, well, we could have caught this or we could have done that, but, you know, President Bush was asleep at the wheel. I mean, is this just sort of like going across the aisle and saying that the other one's not paying attention? Because frankly, I don't know if I would think that my president would be involved in actually interviewing a guy twice in Florida.
Well, it's I believe the reason why our FBI director said that motives are unclear is because there were very contradictory pieces of data that this murderer was looking at, you know, a group whose thoughts run counter to ISIS and a group over here and a group over there. I mean, so it's not entirely clear what his ideology was. But what I've been particularly frustrated about over these, you know, really tough 36 hours is the way people are talking as if radical Islam is, it's like a game show. Like, well, oh, ding, 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 you said it, or ding, 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 you didn't say it. It's so beyond the semantics of those words. The world is such a dangerous place that the labels piece of it, to me, is A, irrelevant, and B, it's not a game.
Yeah, if Obama didn't have the record of failure with respect to protecting the American people from these kinds of things, I would be with you on that. But the fact is, he has banned the conversation regarding Islam. He has actually banned the conversation.
I can't, when you say that so triumphantly and so Chris Roman-like.
No, I'm not saying it triumphantly. I'm saying it very regrettably.
I don't know if it's banned. I think he has not used that.
Perhaps more importantly, in the
federal bureaucracy, it is not allowed. I mean, I can get you people to be on your show if you want to interview them to say how they had a curriculum that they were teaching in the Bush administration. And when the Obama administration came in, all of those pages were taken out. We were no longer allowed to discuss any relationship with Islam. And so it's not a game show. It's a very serious case of, can you understand what you are dealing with and what you have to protect the American people from?
And would it have been different if this word were said or not said?
Well, it's not just the word. It's the entire worldview that is depicted by, you know, the use of those terms.
We only have 3 minutes left. So what I would like to do is get both of your thoughts, Tracy Seffel and Chris Roebling, about the political candidates who are running for office and their response to what happened in Orlando. Chris, why don't I start with you? Your candidate, Donald Trump, you know, he's taken a lot of heat for not showing humanity in his tweets to making it about himself by saying, I told you. I said it.
My college roommate David Rivkin co-wrote an op-ed in the Wall Street Journal today that said the Republican National Committee should tell all of its delegates they're unbound on the first ballot. And Rivkin, who is one of the most brilliant people you will ever meet, because he's one of the most brilliant people I've ever met, is 100% right. I think that Trump is failing the test of national leadership. He's had 5 weeks in which to show he's ready to run. I've never been on the Trump
right.
bandwagon.
But you came together like a lot of Republicans. Like say, a lot of Republicans. Hey, we're going to back this guy.
But this
it's
guy,
only been 5 weeks.
Now we, and we, you know, here is a big intervening national event, this horrific situation.
You expect to see some leadership.
And I
here.
Think he has not done well, and I don't think he really gets it.
He doesn't get it. And he's factually inaccurate in the things he says. It's this willful ignorance I find dangerous and offensive and atrocious. And frankly, putting aside our sort of tortured conversation here about ideology, what I'm becoming the most afraid of is the angry white male who supports Trump. Those may be becoming the most dangerous people in this country because they
ridiculous.
Are supporting
that's
him
ridiculous.
And propping him up. And here he is as a presumptive nominee.
that's
scary.
No. I retreat from none of my criticisms of Hillary because Hillary foresees, Hillary has dedicated her life and she is brilliant and she is determined and she's dedicated. And unfortunately, she's also effective. And she believes that government is almost coterminous with society. She doesn't find a place in society where government doesn't have a role to boss people around, and typically not through a responsible elective process, but through a top-down administrative command process. That's Hillary. That is contemporary liberalism.
Yeah, but, you know, I will say that contemporary liberalism aside, she knows how to tweet out after after a tragedy.
Yeah,
I mean, she at least understands that we want humanity.
She's not a sociopath or a narcissist or whatever label you want to slap on the guy.
Right.
He's dangerous. It's frightening. I'm sorry for the Republican Party, but hey, they voted.
You did.
I know. Look, I was telling people not to vote for Trump. What are you looking at me for?
Chris Romley.
You know, I mean, that shows you how much people listen to me.
HillaryClinton.com.
Tracy Seffel and Chris Roebling, this week's Touche. Dave will be back next week.
Yeah,
Tracy,
is that guy?
Thank you so much for coming back. We appreciate it, and we look forward to having you back again.
Love to. Tracy. Thanks, Justin. Thanks, Chris.